Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show. Another week has gone by. Man, time seems to fly, doesn't it? Well, all you people out there listening to BBS Radio, listening to my show, wow, you could be in Russia, you could be in China, you could be in Japan, you could be in Africa, you could be in Germany, you could be in England, you could be in Canada, you could be in South America, in Chile, or maybe Venezuela, or maybe Argentina, perhaps even in Hawaii, or perhaps even in Australia, or maybe New Zealand, wherever you are, perhaps even in a spaceship orbiting Earth or the moon, behind the moon. There's one spaceship I'm familiar with. It's called the Goodwill. And it belongs to a race of extraterrestrials called the Verdants, Verdants. And they are an awesome species of beings, sentient beings. They are kind of the grayish type, you know, about 5 feet tall, grayish skin, or they could have tan skin with a tinge of green. Dark eyes, big dark eyes like you've seen before, right? Everybody? All these human beings, I mean. A little bit slanted at the edges with kind of pointy ears. And talk about smart. These beings are very smart. Very, very smart. Extremely intelligent. And they might be listening to my show because, I mean, I humbly say this. You know, I'm always a very humble person. But when it comes to information about extraterrestrials, and heaven, and God, created the universe, I mean, that's what we talk about in my show. That's what I talk about. I've had guests before. It's been a while since we've had a guest. But anyway, I had a vision. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've never been aboard the spaceship called the Goodwill, which supposedly is about a mile in diameter. Imagine that. And that's not as big as they come. Apparently, they have motherships that are like 20 miles in diameter. Can you imagine that? And they can go around the universe in a very, very quick fashion because they know how to warp time, space, and they know how to go interdimensional and travel in a parallel universe, you know, where they basically they rearrange their molecules and they slip into a kind of like a thought mode, you know, but they still exist. It's like the spirit world, to give you a better example, you know, where we're all heading for one day, that spirit world in our spirits, which are inside our bodies. You know that. And you have a soul, the brain of the spirit. It's like you have a brain in your physical body. Scary stuff, isn't it? Talk about this. That's why we need to be courageous and brave. Besides, you're living, you Americans out there, this is the home of the free, land of the brave, okay? So, get your courage. Everyone's got courage, right? Isn't it great that the creator of the universe created us? And we didn't happen by an accident? Yeah. Like I've said before in other shows, I don't have to start my show every time that way, but I will say it now, again. If all this life on Earth happened by accident, all the millions of types of bodies, insects, amphibians, mammals, reptiles, birds, fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, if all that happened by accident, well, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere. anywhere in the universe, right? But if there is a creator of the universe, so powerful, knowledgeable, omniscient, omnipotent, then logically that creator could create either the same life here as we have on Earth, or any kind of life that you couldn't possibly, that we couldn't possibly imagine anywhere else, anywhere in the universe. That's logical. So let me say a prayer to the creator of the universe right now, okay? Here goes. Creator of the universe, Master, you are so awesome. I look around in this world that you have created or put the powers into place where we could create them too. Such a beautiful world, Creator. Thank you for the beauty everywhere and the life. We give you praise for your omnipotence and omniscience. You are like our grandfather, and we love you. You are so very awesome. Reminds me of that song by the Moody Blues, Nights in White Satin, and I know that song. It goes something like this. Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore. And I love you, God. Yes, I love you. Oh, how I love you. Anyway, so how have you been this last week during this global pandemic? Oh, man. Turn on the news and see the news. There's nothing but statistics, numbers, everything going downhill. Oh, God, help us. Nothing but negativity, it seems. Very rarely. I mean, not very often you hear something positive. Well, you do. Okay, I take that back. There are some stories of people that are reaching out to help others in this time. You know, this very difficult time, and it breaks my heart, so to speak. You know, because the heart really can't be broken, you know that. That there are people out of work, people without enough food or money to pay their bills. I'm so sorry. God, help us. Help to end this pandemic, please, God. The politicization of the pandemic, especially here in the United States. I mean, I don't even like to say it or think of it, but, you know, with what's going on, and both sides are to blame, you know. Isn't it amazing how America is so divided? I mean, 50% Democrats, 50% Republicans. That's pretty cool, really. I mean, that shows that, hey, you know, we're on the right path here. Well, we might be going somewhere with this, you know. That's pretty cool. You know, half and half. But we ought to just automatically take turns every 4 years, I think. You know, that's probably the best thing to do. You know, after 4 years, okay. Joe Biden, you've got your presidency coming up. After 4 years, it's automatically going to go back to the Republicans, and they have to pick then who they want, you know, for president and vice president. After their 4 years in 2028, then back to the Democrats, and they have to choose who they want, you know. Well, we need peace of mind for these elections, you know. Back and forth, and then we have the Electoral College and the popular vote, which is always different, you know. What do they have? The electoral vote. They were trying to do away with that back in the 60s. Whatever happened, I would say, hey, what are you afraid of? If you let America, let the true majority of Americans decide. That is true democracy. Am I right? Or am I right? The popular vote is what really counts. Then, for the Republicans, and knowing you lost badly in this election, I voted Republican, by the way, I'm ashamed to say, no, I won't say that. I'm ashamed to say I back my decision because I won't go into the details, but I thought, you know, that Mr. Trump hadn't been treated very fairly. From the very beginning, they said they were going to impeach him. That kind of made me a little bit upset, you know what I'm saying? But that's the way it is. When one administration gets into power, the other is automatically at their backs, at their throats, trying to cut them down, knock them down, say bad things. Although Mr. Trump, he has said some bad things also, you know. I don't like how he called Nancy Pelosi crazy or Bernie Sanders crazy and other people. Let me apologize on his behalf for everybody out there. Please forgive Mr. Trump for all the mean things he said. He didn't really mean them. He lost his temper. I'm sorry, he couldn't apologize for himself, but since I like him, you know, I think he's a cool guy, I'll apologize for him. All right. So, the popular vote. So, the popular vote, okay? That's what really counts. Now, all you politicians out there listening to my show, I know probably in the hundreds, no doubt, listening to my show. Yeah, I mean, I watch you all the time on television. At least you could do is listen to my show. You think that's possible? Thank you very much. You are out there listening. That's cool. But someone needs to change the Electoral College, get rid of that Electoral College, and go for the popular vote, the true democratic way of finding out what the majority of Americans want. And we the people, are what really counts, right? These politicians out there involved with their competition, their bitterness, their dividedness, not willing to cross the aisle to compromise. Why we the people suffer because of that. It's just not right. That's not fair. That's not what the Constitution says. Our founding fathers would be disgusted that way. Maybe not disgusted, but kind of disappointed, like George Washington would probably say, oh my God, I see what's going on. What they really need to do is abolish the Electoral College. Some brave senator needs to start a bill to get rid of it so that America, every 4 years then, the people have, for America, a true way of voting, a democratic way, for the majority, the true majority of people. That is what we envisioned as the Founding Fathers, the majority of people. Need I say it again? I'll say it one more time. The majority of Americans out there. So Republicans lost by how many? 6 or 7 million on this last election. So if the Republicans want to win the next election, now let's just assume somebody grows a brain. No, that's not fair to say. Or someone grows the testosterone, if you will, or the courage in the land of the brave to go and pass a bill to have them vote. And like I said, what have they got to fear? What are they afraid of? They might lose? Yeah, I guess they might. But no way, Electoral College, the popular vote. People are concerned. Let the people decide. Pass a bill. Let the people vote on it. Do you want the Electoral College or do you want the popular vote? I guarantee you most of the people will go for the popular vote. Am I right? Am I right? And so, if I was the Republicans, let's say they passed that bill, right? That'd be great. So then, in 4 years from now, in between that time, from now until then, the Republicans, you know, they're way behind in the popular vote. They would have to change their ways, you know, to try to make it closer, you know. Because Hillary beat Donald by about 3 million, and Joe is beating Donald by 7 million. Hello? Anyway. So enough about that subject. The sun has gone down here in San Antonio, Texas. The temperature's about 70 degrees right now. I'm looking out my backyard. That's right. My eyes can see. My eyes can see the coming of the glory of the Lord. Forget that. That's a good song. Anyway, guess what? Our fourth cruise was canceled, oh man, because of COVID-19 or whatever they call it, CV, coronavirus. Not Corona beer. Don't get it mixed up with Corona beer, please. It's that virus that's kind of like the flu, you know. Millions of people have died from the flu in previous years, but they're so indistinguishable now at this time. It's hard to tell one from the other, you know. But anyway, the fourth cruise was canceled for January. Oh, I love cruises too. And the people you meet on, people from all over the country, I'm so sad for them out there. They had a job, they were making money, supporting their families, and now they got to wait some more time. It'll probably be a year. A year? You think so? Back in March. We've got another cruise in March. I hope that doesn't get canceled. So we had one in May going up to Alaska. That was canceled. We had one for August for my birthday. That was canceled. Also, I turned 66 and we were going to celebrate that. Hey, I'm getting my Social Security now. Thank you, America, for my Social Security check each month. May God please continue to bless America. Oh, it's better to have money than not have money. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it changing anytime soon, like going to a credit system or just giving what we have to our neighbors. Here, would you like some sugar? Here's a 5-pound bag. That's a gift. Go ahead. Or flour, a 5-pound bag of flour for you. Merry Christmas in advance. Or how about we've got some steak or we got fish, chicken. Take your pick. Yeah, come and get. We love giving food away. Great. You don't have to give us anything in advance, but if you do have, say, that's a nice car there. Can I have that car? I would love to have that car. It is a nice color. My favorite color. Let me take a drink of water. And then we had one canceled over Thanksgiving. You know, it would have been today. We would have been on the boat right now. We would have driven to, actually would have flown. No? Let me think. It was in Galveston because this one coming up in January was canceled. It's in New Orleans. Was. So the one from November I rescheduled for January. The one that was supposed to begin today would have left from Galveston on the Carnival Vista, which is a nice ship, nice big ship, fairly new. Takes like 3,500, 4,000 passengers. Never been aboard it. The newer ships, I like the newer ships. The newer ships are better. The smaller ones don't like them so well. The bathrooms are smaller. Oh, my God. Some of them, you can just barely sit down on the toilet and you have enough room around you. You hardly have enough room, you know. Showers are also small. But the Vista, I say that's a nice boat. I had a co-worker, Mary's her name. She went on to work for Army Future Command. I worked for Army Installation Management Command on Fort Sam Houston. She worked right beside me in the cubicle right beside me. She went to work for Futures Command in Austin, Texas. And she went on board the Vista back in, when was it? I think February. And she said it was a very nice ship. And it's, you know, like 5 years old. Those are the best kind. Everything's cleaner, newer, you know. So if you haven't ever been on a cruise before and you want to go on a cruise, book in advance, you know, like several months in advance, and you could don't have to pay it all off at once. But remember, don't pig out, don't get sick, don't eat too many of the desserts because the desserts are to die for. Well, not really, but the desserts on a cruise ship, I mean, they have their own chefs. I mean, hello, go figure. These desserts are just like light, very light, not too sweet, very delicious. And I can't eat too much anyway. I don't eat a lot of sweets. But when I go on a cruise, I make an exception. You know, I have a little bit. Usually at dinner time, you know, I don't eat the whole thing too, maybe half. Or I'll get the fruit, you know, like a little bit of strawberries, pineapple, grapes. But they canceled this too, and they apologized. I know that's disappointing news, you know, the one we had in January from the 10th through the 17th. Yes, that is disappointing. That's four in a row now. I don't know if the one in March is going to be canceled. I've got it scheduled for myself, my wife, my stepdaughter, and two grandchildren, two granddaughters, out of Galveston, on board the Vista, spring break week, which is the 8th of March. So we're going to drive there. It's 240 miles. It's not a bad drive. And we've got our own rooms. I've got me and my wife have a room, and they have a room. We took a cruise last summer together, and I was so impressed, for lack of a better way of putting it, just how they enjoyed it. That was their first time. I'd always been planning on taking them on a cruise, you know, because as long as you do everything in moderation, I mean, it can be a great experience, you know. But people have a tendency to drink too much alcohol or just eat too much stuff they're not used to when they're not on the cruise, you know. You can eat the same kind of food, basically, that you do all year round if you want to. They have buffets, you know. You don't have to go to the main dining area and get steak and lobster and Chateaubriand and all these chicken dishes and fish dishes and pork and lamb and whatever, you know. And the service is always excellent. You know, it's like five-star service. You have a nice meal. You leave there. You go to whatever entertainment they have. Usually they have a couple of shows each night at the back of the ship. Singers, dancers. They have comedians, magicians. It is a lot of fun, really. And then if you want to go dance, you can dance. If you want to go to karaoke, you can sing karaoke. Or go to a comedy show, you know, and they're hilarious. I mean, you'll find yourself laughing big time, you know. I'm like, go somewhere and just laugh. It's hilarious, you know. These, some of these comedians, they get paid by the cruise lines, you know, and they go from one ship to the other, and they got some really good material that is funny. So then, if you feel like getting a midnight snack, you can go to the places they have on the ship that are still open. They've got a pizza place where you can have your own pizza made, and that's like 24/7, you know. And you can get room service, which is most of it's free. Now, some of the other stuff, some stuff is you have to pay for. They changed that recently. At one time at Carnival, you can get anything. Everything on the menu for free. So if you just wanted to hang out in your room in the morning or afternoon, evening, whenever, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get off the ship if you don't want to. You know, they're not going to force you to go on a tour when you stop at one of the ports to call, you know, whether you leave from Galveston, usually goes to Montego Bay or Ocho Rios, Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cozumel, or maybe Belize, or Roatan, Isla Roatan, Honduras. Some boats go further south to Barbados and Aruba, or maybe the, get the name of the islands. But then they have also St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, St. John, St. Kitts, Antigua, and some other islands that are around there. It's pretty cool. But our cruise for January was canceled. Oh, well, I need to go to a Sandals resort. That's what I need to do. We need to do. But they're expensive, you know. They're like $4,000 for a week. Maybe less than that. I'm not sure. But I had a friend, a coworker, actually, who went there. And he said he's since retired, but he paid like for 1 week, him and his wife, $4,000. For a cruise, it's not that much. My wife, she likes to play in the casino, but she's not going to be doing that anymore, I think, because she lost her money recently, and I bailed her out. She needed to pay her bills, and so she's been an excessive gambler. I don't know if it's an addiction. I hope not, but she promised me she wouldn't gamble anymore. So I paid, gave her some money to help her out, and so hopefully she keeps her promise. But for those of you that gamble, cruise ships are a place where you can, you know, besides all the, like here in Southwest Texas, they have a place right on the border, the Mexican-American border. But in my opinion, it's called Kickapoo, by the way. They'll just take your money. You might win, but unless you win really big, they're always going to be ahead, you know. They're always going to be taking your money from you. You might win a small jackpot, a couple thousand dollars, but you're going to put that right back in and lose it. And so my wife was losing too. You know, she won a little bit here and there on the cruise ship. She won $2,400 one time. She was a little bit tipsy, had been drinking, and it's not good. You know, if you don't mind losing money, me, I can't. I don't like it. I'll play scratch-offs. I have played scratch-offs. I don't know if I'll do it again, but it's very, very rare I win. And if, when I do win, it's not that much. Maybe, I think the most I've ever won is $100. And my wife, she has played scratch-offs before and won like $500, $600. And, you know, what's really cool? I've got all these geckos. I'm in an enclosed patio, and they're running around on the screen. And so they're kind of motivated by some of the things I say. And when they move, like, at different times when I'm talking about different subjects. It's kind of cool. And they're looking to get some flies, I think. You know, they're hanging out on the other side of the screen. I've got a screen in my enclosed patio, and all these bugs are flying around, attracted by the light, which is up above. Anyway, well, so that one in March is coming up. Hopefully they don't cancel that. But it all depends on how we deal with COVID, you know. I don't like to say it, but I think if things will get better once we transition to Mr. Biden's administration, you know, with all this divisiveness going around, I mean, that's all they talk about on CNN, trying to get rid of Mr. Trump. They've been doing that for 4 years. That's what they do. They're a Democratic channel. Fox is mostly Republican. And so they'll take turns of bashing each other when the other administration's in power, you know. That's the way it is. But you don't have to watch them if you don't want to. I understand that. But with the pandemic, I just see a link between what's going on and the politics of everything. You know, the United States of America is supposedly the leader of the free world, a superpower, which I don't like really to consider, because I think, you know, we should all be living in harmony here on this planet, and the future of our planet should be more important than thinking about who's the superpower, who's the big guy, you know. Who's the butt kicker, so to speak, in the world? We are, the United States of America. But we're also the most generous people, you know. But superpower, I don't really think it's a correct title for us. And it's not fair, and it pisses off, excuse my French, some other people like Russia and China. Oh, so the United States thinks it's a superpower, eh? Okay. Well, we just have to grow and become a superpower, and then we'll be a superpower. Yeah, I mean, really, think about it. Do you think it's right that we should be called a superpower? It just pisses off our enemies. There I go with my French again, sorry. But I think once we can get away from all this bitter politics, especially in my house here where we listen to CNN all the time. Me, I like the people on CNN, but I also like listening to Fox News, you know, what they've had to say, what they say. But I don't spend a lot of time, personally, watching news. It's too negative for me. I'm sorry. You know, mostly negative. It's not fair to say all negative, but I would prefer to watch something like Ancient Aliens, you know, or maybe that's one. Some of my favorite shows are Ancient Aliens and The Family Guy. I mean, that Family Guy busts me up. That is a funny, funny show. You know, Seth MacFarlane, I think his name is. That guy has such a creative imagination, you know. And every once in a while, I might tune into a little sports, watch a little bit of sports, not too much. I don't care who wins. I just like to see them play, you know. I was watching a high school football game last night. Here in San Antonio, we have two main football high school programs, high school football programs, which have historically been the powerhouses of Southwest Texas, and that is Judson and Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, S-T-E-E-L-E. And so when they play each other, it's always a good game, and I watch the first half, you know. I really don't care who wins. I just like to see the plays. And something about high school, you know, I was in high school at one time. I played baseball in high school. I lived in Guadalajara, Mexico. And for any of you that have listened to my previous shows, I've talked about that. I was with my parents at that time. We moved from Ottawa, Canada. In the winter, it was a cold January night. In 1971, when we packed up our 1963 Pontiac, my mother and father and I and two cats, and went from Ottawa, Canada, with the temperature being at the time at about 20 degrees, and they had an historic snowfall that year in Ottawa of 144 inches. We drove south of the Canadian-American border all the way through the United States, down to the American-Mexican border, and 600 miles south of that to Guadalajara, beautiful Guadalajara, Mexico, with all its pretty fountains and roses on the sides of the roads. 5,200 feet above sea level, where I did my 11th and 12th grade and graduated from high school. In fact, my parents pulled me out halfway through my 11th grade, and I was doing pretty well, too, but I was ready to go on the adventure. You know, my parents, they wanted to move to a place where the weather was better and my father's pensions would last more. The cost of living was very good in Guadalajara. So we got there and we checked in with the American High School of Guadalajara, Mexico, and they said, no, the curriculum is different here than it is in Canada. I'm sorry, your son's going to have to do the 11th grade over again. So it was cool. I had about 4 months of doing nothing but staying alive and being myself, you know. So I started 11th grade, and that was my junior year. I was pretty much a nerd back then. Just a nerd. And then in my senior year, my dad bought me a car here in San Antonio. And all of a sudden, hey, I was cool, you know. I had me a girlfriend beginning like December of that year. Her name was Leslie Michaels. And yeah, I had a girlfriend. I was hanging out with my guys. Anyway, I was on the baseball team. And, I mean, I wasn't that good. I batted .289. I pitched also, won three games, lost one. But then again, we didn't have many teams to compete with, and they were kind of like ragtag teams. But these guys, they were cool. They were strong young men. And we made some games out of them. I had some good hits, I think. Number one in particular. No home runs. I didn't have any power, but I was also a base stealer. They called me Bullet. That was my nickname because I would get on first base. I would steal second. I had good takeoff. I mean, not a lot of top speed. My top speed, most people out there could probably beat me in a foot race, you know, 100 meters. But I started out quick. I was like from first 40 meters, you know, it's pretty fast. So I can steal bases pretty good. But I never played high school. We didn't have a high school football program there. And Guadalajara. Growing up in Canada, especially in Ottawa, we used to play touch football, you know, when the weather permitted. Otherwise, we were playing hockey in the wintertime, you know, on the streets, or maybe they had a pond. I never played high school hockey. I wasn't that good. I could have been, I think, if I spent more time practicing, because I had a knack for it, you know. I was really a tough player. I could play good defense, and I had a great slap shot and a great wrist shot. And so those are the two main tools you need to be successful. And to be a fast skater, I was reasonably fast, not the fastest, but I was a good skater. I am a good skater. You know, I can skate forwards and backwards, turn, left, right. Not easy, you know. It takes a lot of time to be that good. But I was also breakneck kind of, I play hard, you know. I broke my left wrist playing hockey one time. I'm the kind of a guy that would, I mean, I'd be going so fast and playing so hard, I might go into the boards, wind up breaking my back or my neck. So I'm glad I didn't actually keep that up. Maybe not, but I always had that fear that I would get hurt, you know, seriously. And I would check, I'd be checked. I remember one time I was stationed with the Army at Bowling Green State University in Ohio as the administrative non-commissioned officer, and they had an ice skating rink there, and they had the college hockey team, the Bowling Green State University Falcons, and I would go, being, you know, they're assigned with the cadets, I would go and support those games, help them sell hot dogs at football games, help them be an usher at the games, you know, directing people to their seats, that kind of thing. And so these college hockey players, they were awesome. But I was never like that. And in Canada, yeah, it's cold there. So we moved to Guadalajara, and I played sports, you know, baseball. Pretty good, batting .289. Pitching three games, lost one, I guess. I can be proud of that. But I remember also, now I won't talk about that. But so I watched this game last night between Steele and Judson. I watched the first half, and I don't care anymore. I don't care who wins. I just want to see the plays, good plays, you know, on both sides. Well, you know, there's so many extraterrestrials out there. Because, as I said before, you know, with a creator who is capable of creating any kind of life, because you have to admit, you know, since the Big Bang, I was talking with my son about the movie, the series, The Big Bang. I haven't watched it too much, but I know that one guy is a pretty brainy fellow. You know, they're all pretty smart. And I said to my son, he's watched it more times than I have. Do they actually talk about extraterrestrials, you know, and UFOs, flying saucers? And he said, yeah, they do that. You should listen to it more. Well, I don't know. I'm more about me than other people. Hey, that's really cool that you're a Hollywood movie star, but what about me? Can you get me a job? Help me out? You know, me. Not you so much, you know. I mean, it's cool that you're doing that. I'll watch you maybe one show, but after that, it's more me. I'm more interested in myself. Hey, I'm a superstar. I've got my gifts. All of you out there listening, you have your gifts that the Creator has given you to, whatever it is. You haven't discovered it or not. If you haven't discovered it, you should, because we all have gifts. So these, our Creator, you know, I don't go with the it all happened by accident theory. The Creator, and it's hard to describe the Creator of the universe. I've talked on previous shows about Mother and Father Gods that exist, co-creator gods of solar systems, you know, in the spirit world, which is a world on fire. I won't tell you what it is, but our spirits can exist in fire. Yeah, got it. Oh, okay, take it easy. Don't get so offended. I'm just trying to help you out. So our spirits can exist in fire. You know, when we dream at night, our spirits, they go and play. You remember dreams? Can you remember just one dream you've had? And go just a little bit of one dream that you've ever had? You can't even remember that? Well, so I'm just joking with you. I'm being facetious. But what you see in your dreams, they're not your eyes, because your eyes are closed, yeah? They are the eyes of your spirit. Got it? So you go to dreamland, you work on some problems, issues that you've been having during the day, you know, things you need help with. And you mingle with all these people, that some people you don't know, other people that you do know in your dreams. Go to all these different places, maybe other planets in our solar system. But our creator, the creator of the universe, is capable of creating anything. I'm looking at these geckos, these little geckos on my screen here, trying to get themselves a little bug for their dinner. And they're so wonderfully made, you know. They've got little arms and little legs and little tails. They've got eyes that can see. And so their function is to get food. That's all they do. They're looking for food constantly. And they might be lucky enough to catch a fly or a bug. Oh, well, man, they work at it. God provides, you know, that they do. They don't want to go starving, so they do pretty good at catching whatever they need to catch. And so they eat that fly, and it goes inside their bodies and nourishes their bodies, and then they poop it out. And they reproduce. They make other little geckos, you know. Amazing little creation. They're amphibians, I think, not reptiles. Just imagine, can mankind in all of its splendor, technological splendor, capable of creating beautiful airliners, cruise ships, and automobiles, and sending a man to the moon and to Mars, and the Cassini mission to Saturn, landing a probe on Saturn's moon, Titan. Mankind in all of its technological splendor, with their capable of creating cell phones that can pick up a signal from the other side of the world. I can talk with my stepdaughter in Tokyo, Japan, or beautiful watches that you wear, iPads, computers. Can we create a gecko? Or a fly, or a ladybug, or an ant, or an apple seed, or a seed for a tree? No, we can't. Not now. Anyway. So my point is, there's a creator out there that is so powerful beyond our comprehension. Powerful to the nth degree. A beautiful, magnificent force of energy, for lack of a better way of describing him, her, male and female, too. And these ETs, they're out there, and they're looking at us here on Earth as we go through our daily challenges, driving around, polluting the atmosphere with our internal combustion engines. I'm so sorry. I'm guilty of that too. Please forgive me. My son, he wants a Toyota Prius. I'm trying to get him a Toyota Prius. He doesn't have a car. He's living in Burbank, California. He was going to go. I told Doug I was going to have him do a rerun for the show, but we canceled because a couple of things. Actually, there's multiple reasons. One was his mother finally gave him a talking the night before he was going to. No, it wasn't the night before. It was a few days ago. It was last week, I think. She said, "Bryce, are you going to give up on your dream, lad? You've been wanting to become a Hollywood movie actor for so long now. And you've been there for 5 years. You're giving up on your dreams, are you? You're going to go home. You're going to come here to Ohio, where it's terribly cold and it gets only colder in the wintertime. And you're going to be miserable. You won't be able to find a job, maybe not right away anyway. And you won't have any money. And then you'll be asking me for money. And you'll be wanting to use one of me two cars. And you know that's wrong. You're locked up inside of this house here in the wintertime, and it's all hot with the heat going on and no outside air and not getting your adequate amounts of oxygen or nitrogen. It's better that you stay in California." So she said words to that effect. So Bryce decided, and also I said that too. I had my flight ready. I was ready to go. We were going to do a road trip. I wasn't too keen about doing a 2,000-mile road trip from L.A. to Detroit, and I was going to fly back on Thanksgiving Day. But I was going to do it, you know. And then also the gecko's after a fly. Oh, got it. He got the fly. He got the, it's a little moth thing. He got him. And so Terry Snell, who was the aunt in Home Alone 1 and 2, he lives with her. She rents out one of her rooms in her apartment. I think there's 3 bedrooms. I've stayed in there before. I've stayed in one of the rooms. My wife and I have a couple of times. And she is awesome. She's his manager. She said, well, Blake can't really come because they just started a curfew there in Burbank. I don't know about Doug and BBS Radio, if you got a curfew going on there in California. But she said, you know, he's supposed to be quarantined for 14 days if he travels, you know, from one state to the other. So I said, that's okay, you know. Plans change. I'm good with that. So now my son hasn't had his own car. He doesn't have a car. He needs a car to get around and go to auditions and, you know. And I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to help him with that in the past. Now I'm getting my Social Security money. I'll be able to afford it. Please, America, don't go bankrupt. I need my Social Security check. Please, America, don't go bankrupt. Please, Mr. Trump, concede so Joe Biden can take over. He lost a popular vote, Mr. Trump. You need to concede. Please, God, please talk to Mr. Trump, God. Please change his heart. Would you do that for America, please, God? The time is now. Don't wait. The Supreme Court is not going to bail you out, Mr. Trump. Don't you know that? Why don't you do people a favor? Leave on a friendly note. People are going to love you if you concede now. We love you, Mr. If you concede, we will love you, Mr. Trump. We love you so much. We love you so good. We will love you, Mr. Trump, if you concede. Oh, that would be wonderful. Please, Mr. Trump, concede. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so stubborn. Oh, okay, I can't tell you anything. You got to do it your way. You remember his song, My Way? He played it the night of his inauguration. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than that. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through. Without exemption, I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than that, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed, I've cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Forget the rest. Face it all. The record shows I took the blows. Let me start that again. See if I can remember. Well, what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say it all. The geckos are looking at me like, oh my, what's wrong with him? Has he forgotten the words? Help me out here. No, I'm just kidding. It goes, but what is a man when he has not? Maybe this could help Mr. Trump to concede, and I got to think this over. But what is a man when he has to say the things he really feels? The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. I know that part. I'm trying to remember the words that I forgot. But anyway, I don't need to. If I had the music, I could probably remember. But anyway, so the point is, Mr. Trump, please concede, Mr. Trump. We need you to concede. You don't need to do it your way this time. Mr. Trump probably, maybe he's listening. If he had sang the whole song, I would have conceded. Oh, dang, I'm sorry. Let me try the last verse again. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. A record shows I took the blows and did it my way. There, I did it. I remember the words. It just takes time for me to come back. There it is. There's the song.
And now, the
thank
end
you.
Is near.
For you, Mr. Trump.
And so I face
Frank, baby.
The final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear.
Regrets. Well, thank you. Thank you, BBS Radio. I'm running out of time here. Let me see. How am I doing on time? I got about 1 minute, I think. Is that right, Doug? 1 minute? Anyway, okay, thank you. Thank you for that song, too, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that's okay. Thank you for doing that. Don't worry about it. Thank you. So, my friends, may the supreme creator of the universe bless you and help you in any way you need it. Go out, look at the stars tonight and say, Creator, supreme creator, I love you. You're awesome. You're great. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the universe. Thank you for this world. It's beautiful. You are awesome. Please do that. And I will talk to you next week. I hope you have a great week and be safe, please. I hope the Creator keeps you safe and well. All right. Bye-bye.